Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number three on what is allegedly a Thursday that feels like a Monday, and all of us are still like sleep hungover. Because we got more sleep than usual.
Still recovering from a food coma.
A food coma?
I had to. It's very rare that I turn down dessert. I was so stuffed, I said, I can't do it. And I laid on the couch and just...
Pray tell, what dessert did you turn down?
The pumpkin pie.
Listen,
I have to be really, really full to turn down pumpkin pie. I was stuffed, so
I feel awful for you.
I know. It's
Did you break out in the meat sweats?
Yeah.
Wow. Hey, listen, I'm gonna jump into number two of the triple dipper here momentarily. But before I do that, I gotta point something out. In case y'all did not know this, just to go ahead and make things a little more maddening. So President Biden only has what, 3 weeks left on the job? Just three. But he's taking a vacation, just so you know. Joe Biden, the putative president of the United States, for three more weeks, has left for St. Croix with his family. He's going to spend his time in the islands, soaking up time on the beach, because, you know, he's not going to have any retirement time at all when he leaves office, just saying.
He's had nothing but retirement time while in office.
That's exactly right. That is just, God, that's a layer of jackassery that I can't even begin to describe. Hey, all right, so some of y'all may remember a show called Seinfeld. And I know that our avid listener, John from Huntsville, who has not texted in today, which leads me to believe it's safe to talk about Seinfeld. He hates Seinfeld. But I'm gonna talk about it today because there's a thing that comes out every year now called the Festivus Report. It's the Festivus Report by Senator Rand Paul. And I've got a copy of it here that I'm going to go through with you in a moment. But you might wonder, pray tell, Phil, what is Festivus? Well, there was a time on Seinfeld when George Costanza's father, Frank, played by Jerry Stiller, who was a hoot, he decided he was tired of what he called the overtly consumeristic nature of Christmas. He had totally lost the meaning of the season. You know, Jesus is the reason for the season, but he was all about the fighting your way through the crowds for the shopping and all that. And he thought, I'm going with anti-consumerism, and he declared his own holiday called Festivus. And then in the midst of Festivus, you have the Festivus pole, which is like a simple, like just plain aluminum pole that stands there. It's like the anti-Christmas tree. It's just a pole, no decoration, just an aluminum pole, like the kind you use for fencing. And then on top of that, he has a portion of the celebration of Festivus in which you have the annual airing of the grievances, where you have to tell people what they've done that made you mad. It's just, listen, I got a sound clip here. JP, you got it for me? Let's just play some origins of Festivus, first of all.
Many Christmases ago, I went to buy a doll for my son. I reached for the last one they had, but so did another man. As I rained blows upon him, I realized there had to be another way.
What happened to the doll?
It was destroyed. But out of that, a new holiday was born. A Festivus for the rest of us.
Well, that must have been some kind of doll.
She was.
Tradition of Festivus begins with the airing of grievances. I got a lot of problems with you people. Now, you're going to hear about it.
Oh my gosh. All right. So that, I don't care who you are. That's funny. So the annual airing of the grievances. Enter Senator Rand Paul. So, you know, Senator Rand Paul is one of those who is somewhat of a fiscal hawk. He's always got his eye on waste and watching to see what the government is spending and just mad about stuff. And I don't blame him. I look at this and I think, what in the world? But so Senator Rand Paul came up with his report. And we got an audio clip from him, too, audio clip number two, if you wouldn't mind getting that ready. I'm gonna air it before I go into the details here. But Senator Rand Paul comes up with the annual Festivus report in which he goes through the long list of complaints, if you will, the grievances about how the federal government spends. And it sounds funny, but at the same time, it's really not. You know, you look at it this year, he's come up with a whopping over $1 trillion in literal waste. like ridiculous things like ice skating drag queens in $1 million or $12 million Las Vegas pickleball complex, all of it. Well, he did an interview on Fox talking about the Festivus Report and why he does it. Let's hear a part of that first, and then I'll jump into what's in it. Go ahead.
And of course, border security for Paraguay. Kentucky Senator Rand Paul joins us now. Senator, this is an annual list you do. You've got a lot of problems with government people, to quote Seinfeld further. How tough is it to target and find the entries on this list?
You know, I got a lot of problems with big spenders in both parties. And here's the thing, everywhere you look, you find more of this stuff. $1 trillion, that means we found a lot of waste. But it's everywhere. It's in all the big departments, in the Department of State. It's in NIH. It's in the National Science Foundation. And people wonder, why does it exist every year? We have this Department of DOGE. Are they going to be able to get rid of it? Well, the only way to get rid of it is to spend less money. So if you give the National Science Foundation $4 billion 1 year, and then you increase it to $8 billion, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to understand that you're going to get more waste, not less. This has been going on since the 70s, but it has exploded. But you have to be willing to cut spending for the overall department. NIH will have more waste if you give them more money. They spent $3 million studying what kids do when they look at ads for food on Facebook. So they had a whole bunch of kids look at ads for food on Facebook, and that was $3 million worth. I mean, hundreds of thousands of dollars to drill holes into cats' head, spin them around rapidly, and study motion sickness.
Wow.
Sounds more like animal cruelty than it actually sounds like an experiment. But the list goes on and on.
And that's not to...
Stop there a second. He's not wrong. The list goes on and on. And I can't tell you how much I hope that DOGE actually gets real, all right? Right now, DOGE is all talk, but they've not had a chance to implement anything. But it doesn't mean they can't be looking. And this is a great place to start. There is nothing in this list that I'm going to go through with you here in a minute that needs to remain. I mean, if they cut out $1 trillion in waste, if they just got down to the point that they said, okay, pork barrel is not allowed any longer. Appropriations, all you have to do is say appropriations have to be germane to the bill at hand. In other words, you can't pork up a bill with things that are unrelated. But they don't do that. As long as the process says that you can pork up a bill, then people will withhold their votes until they get their pork written into a bill. And then you get stupid stuff. Then you get the airing of the grievances with the Festivus Report. So keep playing the interview with let's play another minute. How about that?
Mention, I mean, you have stolen COVID relief funds, $8 million. One guy from Florida did it to buy an island. You mentioned the cat. The list does go on and on. But you also alluded to this, Senator. Do you think your tradition ends this year? In other words, is this the year that DOGE eliminates the need for you to go through and make this list? Because they've done it over the course of the intervening 365 days.
Ultimately, it takes Congress. Congress has to get rid of the spending. DOGE can point out the spending problems and the waste the same way I've been pointing it out. But the reason it's not eliminated is they don't have the votes to get rid of the spending. So I am very hopeful that DOGE will draw attention to this the same way I've been drawing attention to it. But I'll give you an example. About a year ago, there was a chip spill, a bill to subsidize microchips, semiconductors in the United States. Well, in that bill, they doubled the size of the National Science Foundation. Now, the National Science Foundation is the one that's famous for doing a study on whether tequila or gin makes people more aggressive. So they fed fish, half of them tequila, and the other half of the fish gin, and they decided which made the fish more aggressive. That's the National Science Foundation. Most of the terrible, wasteful projects, the crazy stuff and experiments going on is National Science Foundation. In the CHIPS bill, all the Democrats and half the Republicans voted to double the size of the National Science Foundation. So why is there more waste? Because the idiots in Congress keep giving them more money.
There you go. Well, stop there. He is so right. He is so right. And it's because they have a flawed budgeting process. They have a flawed budgeting process that entices people to go get a little something, something, so they can say they brought the bacon home. And then they have agenda-driven stuff like, well, if it's DEI, we can get you some money. We can do that. You got some critical race theory? We can get you some money. You got some LGBTQ in there? We can get you some money. I mean, if you want to build a bridge to nowhere, we can get you some money. Do you have an underprivileged, underserved community? How do you define that? Well, we define that. Okay, what do you define it as? We define it as this. I got some of those. We'll get you some money. That's the way it works. It's abnormal. There is no one who would run their home like this. A private sector's business would go under if you ran it like this. I mean, can you imagine if the private sector said, I just don't feel like paying to keep the lights on or the staff paid. I'm going to go buy all these things that don't relate, that I don't need, and spend the company's money on it. How long would the private sector business be there? Not long. So the bottom line for us today is that the annual Festivus report, which I'm going to read you some of the things that come out of it, and we'll just laugh over it and yet at the same time be mad about it, because this has got to stop.
Well, if how Elon ran X when he first took it over, if that's any indication on how he's going to work with the Doge, I'd expect a lot of this to go away. Because one of his quotes from he fired like, what, 70, 80% of his employees? Or it was like a high number, and he said something of like, it's funny when you're trying to run an actual business instead of an indoctrination program, turns out you don't need so many people.
That's exactly right.
So maybe he comes in and says, you know, maybe when we're not trying to push all these agendas and just trying to, you know, run a government, you don't need all this stuff.
So here's the problem. I'll believe it when I see it. Mm-hmm. And I say that because when he walked into X, he wasn't dealing with a unionized base,
yeah,
which the federal service workers, a lot of them are unionized. Mm-hmm. He wasn't dealing with people who are on government contracts. He wasn't dealing with things that were being preserved for a period of time by an executive order that was in place from the previous administration, which Biden has been doing. He wasn't looking at things that are embedded within the bureaucracy that are layered to the point that if you do away with this one, it does away with three others. They do that. They layer the stuff so that it...
So you can't get rid of it.
So you can't get rid of it, and yeah, then it becomes a self-licking ice cream cone.
Yeah.
And you also have things that are a part of the previous year's budget. So they're going to want to axe things, and yet at the same time, Congress, before they got there, approved the funding for it. So now you've got, by law, that the funding is to be spent on this thing. So are they going to be able to repeal the funding? That's going to be a congressional act. So he's right when Senator Paul said, Congress is the one that has to do this. Doge can advise, but Congress has to do the work.
Having the majority helps.
And they've got the majority. They better use it.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's take a break right now. We come right back. We're going to jump on into some stuff that I hope Doge can get their teeth into. Like, who let the Doge out? We need some Doge biting is what we need. Bill Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Man, making common sense like a superpower. Hey, JP.
What's that?
You like pickleball?
No.
You don't?
I can't. Listen, I've never played it, but I hate that millennials are obsessed with it. Let me say that.
It is rather faddish.
Yes.
I cannot help but think that it somehow or another it's going to burn out sometime soon.
You'll never find me on a pickleball court.
All right. Well, that being said, mm-hmm, how much would you imagine it would cost to build a pickleball court?
Oh, probably too much.
Do you anticipate there being reasons why the government would build pickleball courts?
No.
I don't either. But apparently at a Las Vegas pickleball complex, the Department of the Interior decided to spend $12 million. $12 million on pickleball courts at a Las Vegas pickleball complex. Just so you know, in the annual airing of the grievances, I got a lot of problems with you people.
That's a big grievance.
Yeah. Do you have that clip still where he says that at the annual airing of the grievances?
I got it. I can bring it back up.
Bring it back up. I think we're going to have to play that like several times. How about this? Let's see. Which one of my favorites? Let's see which one. Oh, my gosh. HHS, you may be curious to know that even rats get lonely. Did you know that?
I guess they would get lonely. I don't know why we would care, but
well,
I guess
they do. Well, the Department of Health and Human Services spent $419,470 to see if lonely rats seek cocaine more than happy rats would. Why?
That's...
here's the bottom line. Cocaine bad. We don't care. You don't need to find out whether happy people or sad people like cocaine more. It's just, it's cocaine bad. That's all you got to know. It's, you don't need 419 taxpayer dollars. How about this? The Department of Energy wants you to move towards electric vehicles, right? You know that. How much money has the Department of Energy itself spent trying to push the EV mantra? Guess. Guess. Guess.
Is it above the millions?
Yes.
Oh, gosh.
It's in the B.
Yeah, I don't even want to guess. I'm going to throw up.
$15.5 billion. $15.5 billion by the Department of Energy to push people to electric vehicles they don't want.
The tradition of Festivus begins with the airing of grievances. I got a lot of problems with you people.
Keep that one handy because we're going to need it some more. How about this? Did you know that climate change is the existential crisis facing the world?
Oh, yeah. Like, we could die tomorrow.
I don't want to be an alarmist or anything, but acid rain. No, wait. Hang on a second. Global freezing. No. Hang on a second. It's global warming. No. The glacial ice caps, polar ice caps are going to melt. No. That's not what it is. Climate change.
Yeah.
Let's just call it climate change.
The religion of climate change.
That's it. Exactly. All right. Well, it is now very segmented. It actually affects genders apparently differently. Did you know that?
No, I did not.
Well, you weren't paying attention to how much money they're spending on it. Did you know that the Department of State just spent $3 million for what they call girl-centered climate action in Brazil?
Wait, can they define what a girl is?
Oh, golly.
Of course not.
All right, give yourself some applause. That was good. $3 million for girl-centered climate action in Brazil. I have not even begun to scratch the top of this list, but I got the annual airing of the grievances for the Festivus Report. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. On this one right here, y'all, I am talking about Alabama. Alabama, y'all. And I mean to say, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi all thrown in just for good measure. What am I going to say, like, in a week or so when we are moving into our Chattanooga affiliate? Because there's that news, by the way, in case you hadn't already heard, Right Side Radio is going live in Chattanooga in about 2 weeks. But we're also rolling off in Birmingham of our Birmingham affiliate for now.
For now. Yeah. I think your creative juices could find a new intro.
I think I will do all that I can and muster my ruffian mentality into forming a new mantra to speak at the half hour mark. But yeah, in case you hadn't heard, two things there. One is we're going live in Chattanooga and we're excited about it. Just sent the contract through today. And so that happens starting January 13th, I believe. So that'll be the second full week of January. We are on air in Chattanooga. Looking forward to being out there in East Tennessee, Northwest Georgia, Northeast Alabama. That's the broadcast range for that station. And then if you're a 101.1 ruffian out of Birmingham, if that's where you listen to us daily, just know this, that is changing next week. Contract negotiations concluded with us deciding that the best thing to do is part ways. And so we are not going to be on 101.1 again beginning January 1st. So that's what, Wednesday?
No, yep, Tuesday? Next Wednesday is January 1st.
So our last day will be next Tuesday on 101.1. But you can get us anywhere in the whole wide world by going to the World Wide Web. You can get us on Twitter. You can get us on X. I mean, that is X. You can get us on YouTube. You can get us on Twitch. You can also get us on our website, rightsidemedia.org, rightsidemedia.org. Let me just encourage you, if you haven't already figured it out, go do it like right now while we're talking about it. And if you go to YouTube in particular, click subscribe if you haven't already done it, because that helps us grow as a business. So, yeah, get out there. Find the ways you're going to keep listening to the show. And as we add radio affiliates, we'll tell you. But we are a growing company. Right Side Media is the company. We got multiple podcasts. We got radio. We got written word. All of it happening on a daily basis. And make sure you know where we are.
By the way, first time we've broadcasted out of multiple states for Rightside.
Yeah.
We, you know, our reach has gone into multiple states. It's the first time we are broadcasting out of two states.
That's exactly right. We are now a multi-state entity. Thank you very much. Thank you. By the way, speaking of multi-state, he lives in a state of confusion. Joe Biden just landed in the Virgin Islands for his last vacation in office.
Good for him.
He leaves his job in 3 weeks. In 3 weeks.
It's fitting, though.
You know why? He got a free ride on Air Force One. I mean, why not, man?
I think this is maybe a Joe Biden thing even more. If, honey, let's go here. Okay. Honey, let's go here.
Do they serve ice cream?
Yeah.
So I look at it and wonder, do we even have a president right now? I think the world, listen, anything can happen in 3 weeks, right? But the world is waiting and watching and believing that Biden is no longer on the job.
I think we got a multi-head president right now of John Kirby, Anthony Blinken, and the likes.
Yep, I would totally agree. You didn't include Kamala Harris. Why would that be? JP, what are you trying to say?
Nothing. I think the election spoke for that.
Yeah. Okay, so we're back on the Festivus report. If you did not hear it, give me some Frank Costanza. Give me some Frank Costanza grievances. Go ahead.
Come, newcomers. The tradition of Festivus begins with the airing of grievances. I got a lot of problems with you people. Now you're going to hear about it.
Oh my gosh! Did you know, by the way, that the government, according to the Festivus report put out by Senator Rand Paul, you know, the whole work from home thing?
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah, so, you know, you and I don't get that luxury.
I don't want that, quote, luxury. I hate that.
I don't either. I think it's the most... Now, I realize there are things that can be done remotely sometimes, and I've even taken this show remote and done it because I was somewhere else and did it from a hotel room because I was traveling or whatever. But the reality is there's a lot to be said for getting up in the morning and going to work.
Yep.
And the federal government has never gotten over the whole COVID, you want to work from home thing, which I don't know how they handle people who work in clearance level stuff. It's amazing how many people have clearances. I mean, a secret level clearance is like giving out like candy now, but how do you do clearance level work from home? Anyway, the federal government currently spends about $10 billion a year maintaining, leasing, and furnishing nearly empty office buildings because no one's there working. Let that sink in.
That's government waste to a T.
$10 billion. That's right up there with a pickleball court. Mm. All right. How about, let's see, let me go through the list here, find you a couple that I know are going to make you mad. Okay. No, not that one. I'll do that one. Here's one. The United States Department of the Treasury granted a $700 million pandemic-era loan to a company that was a failed trucking company that was otherwise bankrupt. So basically, they bailed them out.
Yeah.
$700 million pandemic-era loan. Awesome. How about this? The National Science Foundation, that was one of the favorites that you heard that sound clip earlier from Senator Rand Paul. The National Science Foundation spent $288,563 to ensure that bird watching groups have safe spaces, which are called affinity groups.
Oh, good. I'm glad that's getting done.
What is that about? I mean, I like sitting on the back deck and watching the eagles, the egrets, the herons, the kingfishers, all of them around my the ducks, all of them around my back of my. I don't need an affinity group to do it in, much less paid for by taxpayer dollars.
Why do they? Yeah, are they under attack? Why do they need a safe group?
I don't know. That's a great question. Did they feel unsafe?
Yeah, I don't know what we're discriminating against bird watchers. Apparently.
Who was their enemy? I mean, who was out there going, watch this, fellas, I'm going to get me some bird watches.
I can tell you, my grandmother would take me, my sister, and my cousin to go watch birds all the time. And not once, I don't think anybody was under attack doing that.
That's a high-risk environment. I'm surprised she took you.
It's like a war zone.
How about this? The Department of State spent $500,000, $500,000, to expand the U.S. Embassy in Ethiopia's hashtag U.S. Invests in Ethiopians social media campaign. $500,000 social media campaign in Ethiopia to be a part of a public relations event for the U.S. Embassy.
Oh, that's important. That's $500,000 worth of importance.
It's $500,000. And what did it get us?
Nothing.
What did we get?
A whole lot of nothing.
How about the federal government spent, I don't know what this is. I look at it and think, what were they? The federal government spent $7,026,689 on various magic projects.
What?
Magic. I think it was making money disappear.
Yeah, that's the magic trick.
$7,026,689. I mean, it's pretty specific.
Yeah.
I don't have a copy of the 43-page actual report. I'm reading you the bullet points, but wow. How about this? This is real. The National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, because we have an institute for allergy and infectious diseases, and the U.S. Department of Agriculture spent $2.24 million on COVID experiments on cats.
Why cats? Like, what is it like?
I don't know. I mean, I hear that pigs have organs that relate to humans a lot, and so there's that. But cats... I'm pretty sure there's nothing about the feline that relates to the human.
Mm-mm.
So what is it we were studying? I don't know. I don't have an answer for you here. How about this one? I don't know how to explain this, but the Department of State spent $123,066 to teach youth in Kyrgyzstan how to go viral on social media.
That's just funny.
Can they just teach us here at Right Side how to go viral on social media? That's all I want to know. Why am I paying a kid in Kyrgyzstan? This is very important to international relations, I guess. Okay, so there's also a study that was done in the National Institutes of Health. Spent $1,513,299 on a study in which they drilled holes in cats' heads to insert electrodes and then put them on a spinning, made them spin around to study motion sickness. And I realize you're sitting there in somewhat sickened, aghast, and like in awe of this thing. But
I mean, obviously. Like Grandpa said, I think that's animal abuse.
I would agree. But it doesn't beat the one they spent $10 million on studying constipation in cats. What is it with cats?
I don't know. It's something with cats.
So far, we have COVID in cats. We have motion sickness in cats. And now we have constipation in cats.
It's very important stuff. That's
I'm pretty sure they were catstipated.
That was bad.
Holy cow. You can tell we're the only ones working today, man. How about this? The Agency for International Development, USAID, is spending $20 million on a new Sesame Street show in Iraq.
Really?
Yes.
Sesame Street's back?
It's called Alan Sim Sim or something like that. I don't know. But anyway, apparently they're doing a children's show on TV in Baghdad with $20 million being paid for by USAID.
And that's important that we pay for that.
Yes, it is. So here's the other one. Big ticket item. The Navy built these things called LCS vessels. They were built down in Mobile, actually. And they were an epic failure. They were not at all what they were intended. They were next generation. It's going to be the stealth ships, and all this. And it wasn't really working out. They're going to spend another $90 billion on the same thing.
$90 billion
on how to keep those ineffective Navy vessels afloat. $90 billion keeping failed ships afloat. They're having to repurpose them. They're having to give them a whole new purpose because their reason for existence didn't actually pan out. They were epic fails. We do, by the way, this is very important as we go to a break. You'll be happy to know two things before you go. The Department of State allocated $32,596.12 to teach breakdancing.
Oh, my gosh. Well, it is an Olympic sport, or was.
It was. It was. Australia showed up big on that one, man. And then lastly, I'll say this. The National Endowment of the Arts, they have the Bearded Ladies Cabaret on ice. The Bearded Ladies Cabaret on Ice got a $10,000 grant as long as they're ice skating focused on climate change.
Oh.
So let that whole thing sink in. 10,000 taxpayer dollars from the National Endowment of the Arts for a drag queen climate change ice skating show.
That sounds like hell.
That's $10,000 that I'm sure were used highly effectively to help drag queens teach the world about climate change. Can you air some more of the grievance announcement, please? And then we'll go to a break at that point.
Come, newcomers. The tradition of Festivus begins with the airing of grievances. I got a lot of problems with you people. Now, you're going to hear about it.
Take me to a break, JP. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.